So why do we do this radio program and podcast each and every weekday?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, let me be honest. There are times that as I come before this microphone and I'm preparing the stories to share with you and thinking about what needs to be said, I feel like I'm doing the play-by-play in a freak show. I mean, literally, I feel like I'm doing a play-by-play on a total and absolute insane freak show. People in leadership cannot be this stupid. People in leadership cannot be that tyrannical. People in leadership cannot be that cold-hearted. And people in leadership cannot be that just stupid. But apparently they are. And so that's why we are here each and every day doing this program, Truth to Ponder. Now today, I do have a handful of stories that I want to share with you, which just remind you of why we are here and why we do what we do. But of late, I'm thinking, what's the point? Why bother doing a chronicling of insanity each and every day? You can put on Fox News if you still watch Fox News or Newsmax or One American Network or one of a 20 dozen different websites, and you can find many of the same stories that I share with you. And sometimes the story may have been there a few days before I share it because of the recording schedule with some of the things that are going on in the background. You don't need me to be your news program. Even though there are times that there are news stories I should share to give you maybe a different perspective. So I want to talk today, after I go through a handful of news stories that just chronicle how crazy the world is and how dangerous the world has become and how mentally deranged many people truly are today. I need to share this just primarily, if nothing else, as a reminder. And then on the program, I want to share some thoughts that have been occurring to me over the past several days. Now, I need to start by telling you, I feel like one of the most thankful people on the face of the planet right now. I don't know where my health situation will be 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. I have no idea. But I know I'm feeling a lot better than I have. I know that there's a lot of things that I need to do. And I'm doing my best not to be negligent or a procrastinator to get them done. There's a lot on my plate. And I'm excited that God can still use me in His service for His kingdom. And I look at this radio program and podcast, and I try to understand, what does the future hold for it? Will it be business as usual as it has been for the past year or two or three? Or should there be some changes going forward? I'm really trying to think this through, and I'll be looking to you for some advice. I really appreciate those that have listened to this program on a regular basis and the many of you that support this radio program on a very regular basis. Without you, we would not be here. And I want to examine the options that are before us in what I call the year of opportunity, 2024. We now have gone past the first month. We're now in the second month. This is an election year. And I believe as we get into the springtime here in the Northern Hemisphere, there's going to be a lot of activity. There already is a lot of activity. I believe God is going to pull a veil back. I've said this before. And some truth is going to be revealed to many that have been sitting on the fence. A little bit of light is going to be shining into corners of darkness. And some people may, for the first time, begin to understand how much they have been lied to. And for many, it's going to be a difficult experience. It may take a little time to fully accept that they had bought into some lies. They had been deceived, because I know, look, nobody wants to admit they were wrong. Nobody wants to admit that they've been had, they've been snookered, they have been, well, lied to. Nobody wants to admit that they may have done some things they wish they could undo as a result. I don't need to spend a whole lot of time on that. Some of you thoroughly understand what I'm talking about. But I look at this year of opportunity, the radio world in terms of shortwave, and the podcast world, and how it can be even more effectively used. And that's why before the program is over today, we're going to have a deep discussion. And I'm going to be asking you for your advice, your thoughts, your suggestions. They can be done by letter, postcard, email, whatever works better for you. I need your input. This program is coming to, I think, a good crossroad. We've been doing this program, like I say, we are heading, our fourth anniversary comes up this summer as we get toward the mid and end, you know, the latter part of the summer. And I want to know where God would have this program. I want to make sure that what we are doing is glorifying God's kingdom and doing his will. And I don't believe just being, quote, a newscaster, an occasional preacher, is the best use of my time. So that's why I'm going to come to you with your thoughts and suggestions. Then I've got some other updates in the background. Real quick, little change in schedule. I talked the other day about the scheduling of things that we are doing, and what normally would be done today would be an immunotherapy treatment. This would technically be my last one, but we've postponed it for a few days. Not because of any problem. During the last treatment session, and of course, like I say, some of these radio programs in preparation for the enormous week and a half that I have coming up of travel to multiple places, we needed to be a little bit ahead because I can't record when we're on the road. And I was talking with those while I was getting my last treatment, and I mentioned that, you know, I got this trip coming up. I've got to fly to this place, and then we get back the next day, and then I have a big church service on Sunday, and then we turn around and start a long drive. And I said, I hope that, and I know these treatments can slow me down a little bit and be slightly problematic for a day or two, sometimes going into maybe the third day, but not often of late. And the person in charge says, well, you can delay this treatment until, you know, a few days out. It won't hurt anything. Doesn't change anything. We like to get them done an X number of days, but sure, there's no change in its effectiveness if we just postpone your last treatment just several days. So enjoy recuperating and enjoy the intense time of travel that you have for a very important look. I have an ordination to do out of state, and I'm so looking forward to this. It's important, and I need to be my best. It'll be a pretty good crowd of people, and I need to really be able to do this with my best abilities. And so they said, well, fine. Instead of doing your treatment today, Thursday, do it early next week. Take care of that. So that's what we're doing. We've postponed it. We will take care of the trip that starts tomorrow. We get back Saturday, church on Sunday, a little time to recoup. My treatment another day or two to recoup. Then we will travel to Florida. We just get there a few days later than we had planned. And they indicated this would be far better for your overall health. And I tend to agree. So that's just a minor change in the schedule. And it really takes a lot of stress and strain off me. It really does, because I am convinced these treatments are working extremely well. in all the reading that I have done, in all that they are telling me, the way my body has been responding, the way that I'm getting stronger and stronger over each time we have the treatment, is an indication that it has been highly effective. I'm thankful. And as much as I would love to have made today the last one for a while, I know there's going to be another sequence of three coming up probably May or June, not exactly sure which that's normal. This is the normal follow-up. I will have a procedure to take a peek inside the bladder coming up in the next month or so, a couple of months, and then they do the other treatment, and then we just kind of play it by ear going forward and take our time. And I'm getting stronger and stronger. I feel better each and every day than I have in literally a year and a half, 2 years. So for that, I'm thankful. Enough on that. Let's move on to some other topics, because I really want to get to some of the things in this segment and then spend the second segment really talking about what we can do going forward in the future. I'll take a few minutes just to look at a couple of news stories. I stand amazed. I've been watching how the Trump cases have been playing out. And occasionally, when I can stomach it, I kind of watch how the mainstream media has been just breathlessly hoping for convictions and the 91 felony counts and this story and that story and the other. But occasionally, and I think we're beginning to see it now, the truth begins to leak out. And the plan becomes increasingly obvious of what was being done. Let's think about January 6th for a moment and all those that are rotting in a D.C. jail, arrested by the phony Bureau of Investigation, the political Gestapo of Biden. You've got people that are sitting in a rotten D.C. jail as nothing more than Banana Republic political prisoners, when people that burned down buildings, destroyed businesses, rioted in the streets, blew up police cars, they're walking free. In Seattle, those that caused immense damage, they're getting paid by the government $10 million for their trouble. We don't have justice anymore in America. We have a banana republic, and their fearless leader, the president of the United States, is a buffoon or has dementia or both. He's not leading this country. There's no way he's leading this country. It is the freak show that they've assembled in the White House that is truly in charge. And that, to me, is a scary proposition. And those, that freak show put together, including the legal department of the White House, coordinated efforts to stop Donald Trump from running, using nothing more than, I think, outrageous lawfare. But I think that they didn't fully calculate the things that could go wrong. Number one, there is no doubt in my mind that only the scummiest people, sorry, I'm just going to call it as I see it, only the scummiest lawyers on earth would touch it and play the game. Only the failures of life, only the political prostitutes would do this. That's the only people that could sink that low. Jack Smith is one of them, Harvard graduate. And we know now that Harvard is, you know, is about as phony as they come, plagiarism city, woke as can be, and has been going down the sewer for like since Jack Smith was there. A Harvard degree to me is a warning sign now. Maybe back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe even a little later, it may have meant something. But now it's meaningless. Now it's worthless, in my opinion. It's the why bother? I know lawyers that come from much smaller schools that are far better lawyers than some of the clowns coming out of Harvard. And Jack Smith, I think, exemplifies what is wrong with Harvard. He's a failed lawyer, failed prosecutor. I mean, look at his resume. If I owned a little law firm in some little tiny community in some small state, I wouldn't hire him to chase an ambulance to try to get, you know, a whiplash case going. I think he's too incompetent to even do a whiplash case in an auto accident. He works for the government because he could never make it in the private sector. Sorry, but that's the truth. He ended up at The Hague just to get him out of everybody's hair. And when it came time to play the warfare game, or I should say lawfare game against Trump, hey, who's the biggest bonehead in the entire Department of Justice? Oh, the guy we sent to The Hague, Jack Smith. He'll do it. His ego is so huge, you can't get it through a doorframe. And so he takes it on. And he makes all these bold predictions. Now remember, Jack Smith has got two different cases that he's pushing. One revolves Trump's connection to January 6th. The other is about documents that were taken at Mar-a-Lago. Both of those cases are not looking very good for prosecutor Jack I Know Everything Smith. The judge in the January 6th case has removed the case from the D.C. court docket. Now, let me explain a few things that I've been learning about that case and what it really means. I know it's kind of hard to keep up with the cases in New York and Georgia and these federal cases and all. I know that MSNBC and CNN, they're breathlessly talking about how Trump is going to go to prison and he's going to be in an orange jumpsuit. On and on it goes. Remember, Smith is trying to lock up Trump on two different federal criminal prosecutions. The one down in South Florida regarding documents, and a completely separate one in D.C. Now, the D.C. case has got some issues now. Even the Washington Post is beginning to be concerned, which ought to tell you something. You know, that case was trying to charge Trump with plotting to overturn the results of a 2020 election. Yeah, whatever. The backstory is simple. Trump has moved to dismiss the case since at the time of this so-called plotting, Trump was president and enjoyed presidential immunity. And by the way, presidents should have immunity, or else every Fannie Willis in the world would be filing charges every morning against them and harassing them into distraction and making their job impossible. And the judge promptly swept aside two centuries of presidential precedent and ruled nope, no presidential immunity. That's where this thing started. And Jack Smith was just drooling like a, you know, duh, ha, ha, I got Trump now. Trump's lawyers filed an appeal. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is currently considering the case and has stayed the trial pending its decision. Now, once the three-panel judge rules, Trump then can appeal again to the full D.C. Circuit. And even if he loses there, he can appeal it to the Supreme Court. Now, do you think that's going to happen between now and Super Tuesday? Do you think it's going to happen now, between now and the end of the primaries? Do you think it's going to happen between now and the political conventions this summer? Not a chance. Do you think it'll occur before the election in November? Impossible. This trial just got shoved to the back burner because Smith overplayed his hand. And so did the Obama-appointed judge. So it'll take months and months and months. And you got these people holding on to the idea of a summer trial date, you know, like some old dude holding on to his little number ticket at the counter at the grocery store deli. The judge gave up on any hopes of a 2024 trial and canceled it and has not set a new date. Now, I'm sure that the fine folks at Mind Syphilis NBC will try to say, well, that's just a minor thing. We'll get it back on track. Don't count on it. Don't count on it. You know, the Supreme Court could agree to take it up in their October session and get around to ruling on it. Oh, I don't know. Maybe after the inauguration in 2025. Don't count on it. And so that trial for Jack Smith is unraveling. Then you have the case, and I mentioned this the other day, the one going on in Florida, where Jack Smith, his ego just outshines his mental ability. Thought he could buffalo a judge into, well, we've got the documents that I've seen, but we don't want those documents in a court of law. The judge rightfully said, well, why? Well, it may have some national security, but you've seen them, correct? Well, I've seen them, but you can't. You don't tell a judge what a judge can and cannot do. And the defense for Trump says, you know, I think when you see these documents, you will understand what's going on here. That's one thing that even a buffoon like Jack Smith can even understand as he stands there and drools. That if these documents become public, his case there also unravels. See, none of this was about getting a permanent and real conviction. It was to overturn an election coming up in advance. In other words, keep a guy from running. The connections back to the White House, the tentacles run deep. These are coordinated efforts. Remember when Biden said, we'll use all means necessary to keep him from taking power? As far as I'm concerned, that's the coup. And it's a real one. And they've used real lawfare illegally to go after somebody. The cases in New York, we'll get to those in a minute. And so what the judge decided to do in the Florida case, so now we know the DC case, it's not going to happen before the election. Not even selecting a jury. It's going to be off the docket. Overplayed his hand is what Jack Smith did. He could have had his trial date in this summer, but he himself blew it. Just like he's going to blow it with the Mar-a-Lago case and the raid on Trump's home. Because all of a sudden, the documents that happened to do, you ready for this? About Russian collusion in 2016 suddenly come into play. Do you think that anybody, and I'm just trying to think of a few names to drop here, like Adam Schiff, do you think that Adam Schiff wants those documents revealed that'll prove that he was an unmitigated liar on television, an unmitigated liar in the Congress, an unmitigated liar in all the proceedings that went on, and to show that all the FISA warrants were all based on lies, and that a real treasonous coup was being done against a presidential candidate, a president-elect, and the actual president of the United States? Do you think they want that to come out? Well, the judge has decided I'm going to read the documents in a secure environment, and I will decide if the world gets to see them or not. Well, folks, at minimum, one of two things are going to happen. Number one, those documents come out, and a lot of people will be scrambling to preserve themselves from going to prison for the rest of their lives. Because I think the evidence of treason is there. And Jack Smith, unknowingly, because he's a total moron, has set the stage for doing more damage to the deep state than Trump could have ever imagined. And Trump doesn't even have to do it. It'll become increasingly obvious. And if Trump takes office, those people are going to be running scared for their lives, literally, because I believe all of them. And that includes Adam Schiff and many others committed actual treason, as did, I think the FBI, there'll be people that made January 6th happen. Pipe bomb, the phony pipe bomb incident, all of this is about to explode in a lot of people's faces. Pardon the pun. Sometimes the truth comes out, maybe a little late, but when it does, this disinfecting bright light is about to be shined, and it's going to happen as we go through this year. That's why I call this a year of opportunity. So expect the buffoon White House, the Biden buffoon White House, to talk about fixing the border and the wars we need to get involved in. You know, don't look over here. Don't look at the man behind the curtain, you know, which is the buffoons running the White House. We have big things to do. We have to bomb Iran. We have to, you know, go after this. We need to chase after that. And we got to fix that border. The Republicans opened up, and they're going to just do anything they can say and do to save themselves a little longer. But time is running out, and I truly believe truth is going to prevail. Now, the cases in New York, I'm just going to say this, and I can sum up those cases in just a matter of moments here. You got the two cases that are going on, trying to keep Trump from doing business. Now, remember, Letitia James finally got all the tax records. And somebody, by the way, went to jail for releasing those records. The mainstream media doesn't like to talk about that, but those records were illegally released. And with all the records, Letitia James thought she could find all these felony criminal charges to put Trump in a New York prison for life. Didn't happen because there was no crime. And so they invented one about misrepresenting the price of real estate. But nobody was defrauded. There was no fraud. There was nothing illegal. If that charge sticks, and every real estate agent, every bank in the city of New York will need to flee and shut down, because if this stands, there'll be thousands upon thousands of potential criminals based on a false premise by Letitia James. And I think people are going to start getting nervous as this case goes forward. Maybe that's why there's some delays right now. Maybe they have to rethink their plan. And then the other buffoonish case deals with this crazy lady. And I mean, sorry, but she is a crazy lady. E. Jean Carroll is her name. You've heard it many times before. She accused Donald Trump of raping her in a changing room at Berghoff Goodman department store in Midtown Manhattan. Oh, sometime 30 or some odd years ago. Can't remember when. If anybody thinks that that $83 million defamation lawsuit is going to stand, let me give you a few reasons why it's not. Number one, she said rape is sexy. She thinks it's a wonderful idea. She's been bragging about her shopping sprees, and it's not going to happen. And the scenario that she described to the court is identical to a Law and Order episode, where a man kind of forces his way into a changing room at the same store and molests a woman. By the way, she was also this woman, E. Jean Carroll, has admitted to be a big fan of the TV show The Apprentice. Would you watch your rapist on TV and think it's a great program? New York State had changed a law that allows this idiotic lawsuit to proceed, which just goes to show how spiritually, intellectually, morally, and legally bankrupt the state of New York has become. The man who has backed this lawsuit to pay for it is a major DNC donor. The whole thing, you know, remember George Conway? Yeah, husband of Kellyanne, from the now embarrassed Lincoln Project. I call it the Lincoln Pedophile Project. Yeah, that George Conway. George Conway, a total disgusting protector of pedophiles and rhinos and deep state. And though she denies it, E. Jean Carroll, it is clear the entire plan was concocted by George Conway at a cocktail party in Manhattan. E. Jean Carroll's lawyer is desperate to fix her reputation as a rape enabler. I mean, they're working on that. By the way, the dress she said that she was trying on when she got raped didn't exist in the 1990s. And she has no idea when this thing happened. And she won't let anybody test any of the clothing that she still has for DNA. She calls the dress her bad luck dress. And she doesn't know, I'm not going to get into some of the things, she doesn't know a lot of stuff. We know that she has made at least a half a dozen other claims just like it of being sexually assaulted. I think when somebody has done that 6, 7, 8 times, now that may not be innocence, proof of innocence for Trump, but it is relevant when you start thinking about the other cases. Then she said it wasn't sexual. Then she said she's not his type. And on it goes. By the way, the judge and Carroll's lawyers, there may be a connection there. I know that there's been a denial, but the one thing that cannot be denied is they both, you know, Judge Kaplan and others, they all worked at the same law firm at the same time. Carroll never talked to anybody about these assaults until, well, when she wanted to do all this. If true, well, even if some of this, you know, what Trump said about her as a defamation point is true, it's not worth any $83 million. Might be worth a few thousand at best. She once said women love being abducted. She said it wasn't a big deal. She says she lives in a mouse house infested with rodents who she's given names. She has a mental disorder being a hoarder. And, you know, you can't sue somebody for being crazy if that person is crazy. How do I put this? She's sexually obsessed. She named her cat Vagina. And she said she lives in the woods because if she lived in the city, she would have 16 boyfriends. Now, remember, she's 80 years old. And she has other just disgusting names that are just on and on it goes. She writes notes to herself, but, you know, who doesn't do that? I mean, I get it. But her messages are bizarre. Like, you know, her microwave says, burn, baby, burn. Her bookshelf says, always amused, never angry. The woman is certifiably crazy and needs help. And then you get a scumbag from the Lincoln Project to put all this together based on an episode of, you know, some TV show. You get George Conway involved. Once George Conway was involved, I knew it was fake, phony, and fraud. By the way, Carroll once made the statement she wanted to rape Trump herself. And she would do it for money. Sounds a little scary, doesn't it? And this case, where a defense was never permitted of any kind, you know, in both the New York cases, the defense has been denied. This is all about lawfare. This is all get Trump. It really is. And it's all going down the toilet quickly. Now, I know I'm running late for the break, and I want to finish my last story so I can spend time. Actually, I got two quick stories. Fulton County, yeah, it's unraveling there. You know, Fannie Willis, you know, she's not giving up her case. It's racist if I give up my case. She has no case. All based on a lie. And now we're finding out just how much money she spent on herself, her boyfriend that she hired for big bucks, and how much money went to the boyfriend's law firm. There's a lot coming out that doesn't look very good, but she's going to hang on to that case. You want to know why? Because nobody would touch it now with a 10-foot pole. and then the idiot governor of the state of Georgia just sits by and does nothing. I am so thankful that the legislature in Georgia is stepping in. You know, the legislature could have been called in session, but Kemp wouldn't do it. But now that they're in session, I don't really want to be Kemp right now, because this could come back and really hurt him. It really could. And right now, Fannie is facing 22 counts of impeachment on her own, and some of them are criminal offenses. But she's going to keep on chasing after Trump. She's not going to give up the gravy train just yet. But she may be forced to. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And Willis has no intention of stepping down from the Trump case. We'll see if that case survives. We'll see if her career survives. Now, one last thing I just want to put in the back of your mind as we go to this break. I keep saying this year of 2024 is a year of change and opportunity, but it also could have a lot of peril. And I just wonder what kind of life-changing events that they'll try to pull off to try to keep Trump out of office, to try to prop up Joe Biden, to try to delay the inevitable financial events that are going to come. You can't add $3 trillion in debt in 1 year and pretend it's not going to affect the economy. It's going to affect. They're trying to just hold it off, like holding back the water behind a swollen lake from floods that are going to come across that dam. And it could break that dam. It could be pretty bad. Our economy could be in trouble. There could be a conviction with Trump, won't stand. It'll just make a lot of noise. He could be acquitted or nothing happens at all. And I'm beginning to think we're heading toward the nothing at all scenario, because some of these cases that have no merit are beginning to unravel, and some people are beginning to look at their reputations and their jobs and their connections, and they really can't fathom going down with that ship. I worry about terrorist attacks inside of this country because of what the treasonous Biden administration has done in enabling, and for him to stand and lie now, the border I inherited. You did not inherit anything. You created this monster. We have thousands of military age males in the country, many of whom hate the United States. Look what happened a week ago in New York. Beating up a cop, and they get to walk out without bail, and folks are still sitting in jail for, making noise on January the 6th, trespassing. No, we have an economic meltdown right in front of us. I think the COVID narrative, they're going to try to resurrect it and call it Virus X, but people are not buying it. And if things don't change, I'm afraid we're getting close to civil war. And I'm going to stop right there, because when I pick up on the other side, that's where I want to talk about being prepared, being ready, and what the future of this radio program and podcast truly need to be. But for now, do you believe in the work that we're doing? Do you believe we should expand our outreach and how to do it? If you want to keep us on shortwave, it is your financial support that does it. There may be opportunity again with WTWW as they're getting closer to repairs. Maybe things can change. We don't know. But if I don't have the funds to pay for the airtime, it's not going to happen. Would you consider going to the website truth2ponder.com? truth2ponder.com. If you would, it would mean a lot to me. You can use Give, Send, Go, a Christian online fundraising organization. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Polite Lifeguard, coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. What are the reasons you don't share the gospel, the Great Commission? Well, some people say, I don't want to jeopardize a relationship. If I witness, it's going to get nasty. They're going to reject me. They're going to break it off. That'll be the end. All right, so picture this. A lifeguard is sitting on his lifeguard station. A woman's drowning in the ocean, saying, help, help, save me. The lifeguard doesn't jump in. Just sits there. The woman says, why aren't you jumping in? Why aren't you saving me? The lifeguard answers, well, I don't really want to jeopardize our relationship. What? Well, if I try to save you, you might resist, and people who are drowning often resist. You might hit me, you might hurt me, you might sue me. Trying to save you might jeopardize our relationship. This way, I'll sit here. There's no risk of our relationship being harmed or anything unpleasant happening between us. But what do you think of the lifeguard? Not much. But that lifeguard is you and me and all of us if we refuse to share the gospel with someone who's perishing because it might rock the boat or cause an awkward moment or an unpleasant situation. We've got no excuse. The people are drowning. Yes, they often resist. Drowning people do that, or they panic, or they even hit the lifeguard. But no true lifeguard is going to let that stop him from saving the person. Didn't stop Messiah from saving you. It can't stop you from saving them. You might not have been an easy save. So you know what? Maybe they won't be either, but you do it. You jump in. He jumped in, you jump in. Forget the relationship. Forget trying to avoid unpleasant reactions. Get off your lifeguard seat. Jump in, my friend. Share the gospel and save them. Want more? Ask for Lifeguard, Lifeguard on CD. How'd you like to be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound? Well, how about just move mountains? You can. With Sapphires, your super spiritual supplement for a super spiritual walk in the Lord, plus the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, all free. How do you get this? Easy. Just remember, Jesus really renamed Yeshua, and you dial it. So how do you do it? How do you get your free gifts? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. I invite you now to join me in the Great Commission. Could you imagine you could blanket the earth with salvation? You can. The farthest way your life can ever stretch out for the gospel. Amazing. Save the lost. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip is 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy, box 1111. Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Lifeguard, do your job. In the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus, the lifeguard of lifeguards, Tikvat Olam, the hope of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Thursday. So glad that so many of you do listen to Truth to Ponder each and every week. Many as a podcast and a number of you on shortwave radio. I was just thinking during the break, a couple of things hit me. We started this program in the midsummer of 2020. I had worked in emergency management starting in the early days of COVID-19. And we started talking then, long before the vaccine, that the narrative they were giving us was not true. Something was wrong. I know that in my work, I started feeling that the information they wanted me to share didn't feel right. And as I began to do an in-depth look for information to back up any press release I was being asked to write, anything I was documenting, I needed to know for certain that everything I was sharing was true. There was a voice inside of me. I can remember as we were approaching Easter that year in April, I felt that we're living in a nightmare of our own design. And I started wondering, you know, are the numbers we're being told true? Are the PCR tests actually valid? And a couple of things stood out. that the people that were supposedly dying of COVID, you know, were supposed to have these thousands of deaths in the county in which I worked at by the summertime of 2020. Well, nobody was dying at some incredibly high rate, yet we're being told to live in fear, walk one way in a grocery store. And then the face diapering kept on and on and on. It went. And then mail-in ballots and more people testing positive. And now we can spread it without any symptoms and kill grandma. Something didn't feel right. And the more that I would research, the more this phony narrative was becoming what it was, a phony narrative. The elites wanted everybody in fear. And I'm going to say it. The elites didn't care if grandma died in a nursing home. The CDC did not care. Absolutely did not care. The FDA was willing the next year to lie about vaccines, and on it goes. If you think about the last 4 years as we've come through this, the only people that are wearing masks now in public are generally one of several things. They're either weirdos, or they are so misinformed and full of fear, or they're trying to hide their identity as they're beating up police officers and stealing stuff in stores. Americans are quietly getting more and more distrusting of their government, Big Pharma, and they're starting to even get angry about the lies. Why do you think they're working so hard to keep Trump out of office? And mark my words, if they feel they cannot get ahead of the pandemic narrative, if they can't bring in a new pandemic panic to get mail-in voting, mark my words, they will find a way to blame these newfound deaths and myocarditis and everything else on Trump. They've tried everything else. Why wouldn't they try that? They've tried to change election laws because of a glorified disease that they made themselves in a lab. They may try it again, but I don't think it's going to work. And I think many people are going to simply rebel, and they're going to remember that Minnie Mengele was a liar. So on we go. So where does that leave us now? And this is where I want to spend the remainder of this program. It was a week ago today, my wife and I checked into our hotel. We would come in the night before for our treatment because it's so early in the morning, and there's no way that we're going to drive the interstate in cold, foggy, potentially dangerous conditions, trying to make time in the dark. I just don't do that anymore. So we've had to bear the expense of spending a night in a hotel so we can get to where I need to get to early in the morning to be prepped and then go through the therapy and go home. Well, I had a chance to do something I don't normally have a chance to do. In the hotel room, there's a TV set, and it has all these things. You can watch some live TV or certain on-demand programs, and even listen to some podcasts. Now, I don't get a chance to listen to the big podcasters like the Dan Bonginos and the other. I'm busy doing my own program and doing a lot of reading. A lot of people say, hey, Bob, look at this video. Listen to this podcast. I'm sorry, I don't have the time. It's so rare when I do. And so we started listening to some of these podcasts. And the one thing that stood out is they are very much commercially based. I mean, Dan Bongino, I think there were 4 or 5 times that he stopped to do a live commercial for this product or that product. And the same was true with Ted Cruz. He has one called The Verdict. And we just kind of sampled some. And I realized, you know, what we're doing here is so different. The entire podcast model, especially from iHeartRadio and most of the big boys, it is a commercial venture. And I'm sure that these individuals are getting paid well. Look at Joe Rogan at Spotify. How many millions of dollars do they pay him to do a podcast and just talk a little dirty and talk about the same things you and I are talking about? And here we are every week trying to get above the noise. I don't have the financial backing And I don't have the name recognition that some of these people develop being a guest on the Sean Hannity program or what have you. I mean, who would have ever heard of Dan Bongino had he not been an occasional guest on Fox TV and other places? Nobody. But these people now are the hottest ticket in town. And they're not saying anything different than we are here. And if anything, they may have to be careful about what they say as not to offend a sponsor. But then I have to think. I want this program to grow. I'm retired. I don't have a big bank account to go out there and write big checks to buy more airtime or to advertise this podcast in a lot of places. And social media advertising has been not really beneficial. There are times that I've tried it in the past. It just doesn't function for this program. And so I'm at this place where I'm trying to think, if this program is going to grow and have an impact, what is the next step? Doing what we are doing, it is really not growing. When the economy is not great, which we can thank Biden for that here in the United States, and you can thank Trudeau for that up in Canada, and you can thank the EU over in, you know, Europe. When your economy stinks, a lot of people have a hard time supporting, so the income can fluctuate tremendously here at this radio program. For a while, we were on WTWW. And there were a lot of times we were not on because of many technical issues. And they still have a number of technical issues to overcome. But they would like to see me continue buying airtime. And I have to make a decision. Do I want to see that facility be used? I would love to. It has a great signal. But frankly, I can't subsidize their operation with one radio program and buying airtime that I'm not even on. So I've got to make some decisions. Do we want to continue? Do I want to grow a podcast? Do I, and I, like I say, I don't want to go commercial. I really don't. I've thought about it. If I could be highly selective for the podcast side, would I consider having a sponsor or two? I really don't want to do it because I'd never want to be compromised. Other people say, hey, you could put your program behind a paywall. People may pay a dollar a week or maybe $5 a month or something. But but then again, if you've listened to me before, I don't want a barrier between the truth that I'm sharing with you and your inability to pay for something in a really bad economy. And I have other projects that I want to share, and I may talk about them a little bit tomorrow and next week. I believe many of you that could, as possible, should consider looking at getting your technician license, maybe a general class ham license. I'll explain why in the days ahead. I have my tech license, and when I finally have the time, I plan on taking the test for both the general and the extra. I've been a broadcast engineer for years, just never had the time to get into ham radio. I've wanted to, but time was my enemy. We need to find ways of staying connected. And I love being on shortwave radio. I also recognize the other issue with podcasting. Sure, I get solicitations all the time. You can make big bucks in podcasting. Just follow my plan. And I can imagine what the plan is, and I'm sure that I could make this a financially beneficial program. But would I be compromising the content? That's the issue. And I'm very afraid that I would, or would I be making it hard for some people that need to hear this program be able to hear it? And so I'm at this crossroad. The program has got to grow. It takes an incredible amount of my time to do this program each and every week, each and every day, and have it distributed when I have travel coming up, dealing with this bladder cancer, and then we have to go down to Florida and spend a little time. It's not for a vacation, but there are things that really must be done. We've got to get there. it is so hard on me to try to keep ahead of the programs. I record and I'm going, what day am I recording this for? This is, I can't do these programs same day because of the early first airtime. And so I'm really trying to rethink everything. So that's why I'm looking to you. What are we missing? What could we do different? What could I do? What would not offend you? Should I consider a sponsor or two? I really don't want to, but should I? Would that help in keeping it on the air? Because giving is down. And as much as I'd like to commit and continue to commit at WTWW, and I'd love to have a daytime airing of this program, right now, can't do it. Though I want to do it. We have said on this program a lot of things over these 3.5 years. And I look back and I know there are many times that I felt a little uncomfortable sharing something, but my heart said, share it. My heart said, do not do this, do not do that. Do not believe these people. And time has proven this program correct. We have been ahead of the curve. And I'm not bragging on me for that. I'm giving God all the thanks and the glory for tempering my heart and my mind. And there were times I was ready to share a story and a little voice said, don't do it. Then I researched it later and found out what a big mistake I would have made. I admit one time, and it's going on 1.5 years, almost 2 years ago, I shared a story that ended up not being true because somebody had cleverly edited a video. I mean, really did a clever job to completely change the meaning. And a good listener had sent me the link. And I just accepted it without double checking. And I made a mistake and I had to own up to it the next day. I never want to have to do that again. Ever. I want you to know that the things that I share, the opinions that I give, are true. And in spite of what the world may tell you, you can believe what I tell you. When I say I believe the elections were rigged in 2020, there's just too much evidence, not just in one way, but hundreds of different ways, just enough to move a point here and there, a little tiny amount. And I think time will prove it correct. Why do you think the warfare against Trump? Because I believe that a dam could break, and when the truth comes out, it's not going to be pretty. And I really don't want to see this nation find itself in what I consider a potential civil war. And if things don't change, one of two things are going to happen. We're going to be sucked into a war in Europe and even the Middle East. That's how evil our leaders are today. They'll start a war and kill people to save their skin. Or they'll lie to you about a new disease called X. Or they'll let more people come across our border. And we don't know who these people are. And they will willfully and knowingly lie. So, your ideas of how we can keep this program financially solvent, you can use my email, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com. You can also go to the website, truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab. You can use Give, Send, Go. Or maybe today, please, for the first time, write that check or money order and make it payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Zip code again, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.